We are going to get started. Thanks for coming, everybody. I drove up from Denver this morning, and the roads were totally fine. I had this plan of what I was going to talk about. You know, like, when I was younger, people would be like, oh, I had this plan of what I was going to talk about. But then the night before, God told me something. And I was always like, really, that's interesting that, like, you had all this planning that you did, and then you had something really good to say, and then at the last minute, like, divinity dropped in and gave you something better. Didn't ever sound real plausible. So that's not what I'm saying right now. All I'm saying is I actually had a plan to talk about something for about a month. But then this week, I had to make, well, I made what felt like the hardest phone call midweek. I called Kent. I just got off the phone with John Balma, and I called Kent and told him that Winston had died. And then I ended up making that same call, like, many times over to a bunch of good friends. It's kind of funny, the hardest thing for me this morning is that Winston was like the elder of the BCM Men's Cry Club. There's only really a couple of us that are part of that club. You know? But at any rate, it's been, I don't know about for you guys, but it's been a hard week. It's been really kind of disorienting, and I've felt really sad. And a couple times I found myself feeling really angry. A couple times I've thought, I could think of some other people who would have been a lot nicer to see them, you know, go somewhere else. It's been really hard. For me, and I'm assuming for a lot of us. So I didn't have Divinity drop out of the sky last minute and tell me to talk about something else. I just felt like I wanted to put that other stuff aside and that I was going to talk about, and I just wanted to talk about this moment that we find ourselves in. When I was towards the end of college, I had a really rough go for a spell just in life, and it was really hard. And I found myself having to just face a lot of things about life. And it all kind of started around Christmas time, and so I was going to school in Nebraska, small town called Hastings. And winters there are all over the map. They can feel kind of mild sometimes, but they are also like negative 60 wind chill and sideways wind or ice storms or blizzards. And so it can get really cold. And when this thing happened, there was something inside me. I don't know where it came from or what was the impetus for it. But I had these kind of conflicting things inside me that I had all these emotions and feelings, but then I also had this part of me that kind of wanted to put all of that stuff aside and just kind of carry on. And for some reason, I was like, I really need to feel all of this. It's important. So, and I was like, I need to feel not just all of this, but everything. And so one of the ways that I found that worked for me was I used to try and find ways to really exhaust myself, because when you're exhausted, you tend to feel things, you know? So I found ways to really exhaust myself in physically. And Hastings is in a very flat part of Nebraska. Not all of Nebraska is like that, contrary to popular belief. But it's a pretty flat part. And I had a bike. I didn't have a car. And it was just this old mountain bike. And I would go and I'd get on this mountain bike and I would ride for miles and miles just on the country roads. Never knew where I was going, but I started doing it in winter. And Kent and I laugh about this because I was so intent on feeling everything that I wanted to feel physically everything too. So I would ride with no gloves, and I'm riding this bike and I've got no gloves on, and it's negative 5 degrees outside. And don't do that. Because I messed my hands up. They still to this day have some problems because of doing that. But I just needed to feel all of it. For some reason, there was something in me that needed to feel all of it. And that needing to feel and all the stuff that I felt that I couldn't even describe, it started to build some stuff in me that I think I didn't really start to understand until maybe 10 years ago. And this was back in the last century. So that was a long time ago. That was a habit that I started then. And I kind of continued it for quite a while. And something that really used to bother me and still can. Both sides of my family are very big. And when you have big, and they're both in Colorado, hundreds and hundreds of people. And when it's like that, you're pretty used to funerals, you know. You're pretty used to having people die in all sorts of manners. From my grandpa dying when he was 93, lived and he called us. It was Thanksgiving. We had had Thanksgiving dinner. And then the next day, he called everybody and he said, "Hey, I'm going to die today. And I'm going to the hospital because I'm going to die today." He wasn't sick or whatever. And then so we were like, "Oh, okay." And this was how my grandpa was, you know. So we went to the hospital. There's like 100 people there, just coming in and out of his room, talking with him. And he's just insisting he's going to die today. And then around 3 o'clock, he died. And I had a cousin who came over to live with all of us from Italy. And he was like 21. And he decided to go for some wild party in Vegas. And he took too much of a hard drug and died of an overdose on the road. So I'm like, you know what I'm saying? It's like all the way from a guy who just wills his death when he's 93 and he's like had a good life and he's like, I'm good, to like a shocking thing. You just, in my family, you get a lot of that. So I've been to a ton of funerals, but one of the things that drives me crazy, I'm not saying it's wrong or it's right for me or for the funerals, but there's like, so often people want to rush to comfort and they want to rush to like a resolution, is what it feels like at a funeral. Taking all of that together and putting all that together, what I started to come to know when I just insisted on feeling the stuff so much 20 some years ago in college when I had this tough scenario, was that life is just, it's so wondrous and grand that it's just totally beyond me. And I needed to be able to feel all the things from that really hard moment back then. I needed to be able to experience all of them to really know how wondrous and grand things are. And so I really want to encourage us in this moment we're in, where we've lost our good friend, to go ahead and really feel it. Because a lot comes to an end when we lose somebody. When I think of Winston, we lose somebody who was really graceful. And who had a way of kind of infusing joy into his surroundings. And he had an uncanny knack for being graceful and being forthright. And it's something I've always seen in him and admired, because that's really hard to do. I find that I could be really graceful and that I'm a big coward, you know? And so am I really that graceful? I don't know. But he was really good at being graceful and forthright. And I just encourage us to feel what we lose, and a friend, for some they lose a father, just a lot of things come to an end, a husband, a neighbor, there's just a whole lot that comes to an end, and if we don't really acknowledge all of that and feel all of that, then I think we rob ourselves of a real depth. One of my favorite stories about Winston is Holly and I used to go to the Aspen Film Festival for our anniversary. It was like a thing we did for a while. And we'd go for like 4 days and we'd stay in Aspen's dumpiest place, which is surprisingly dumpy. We got to stay free a couple times because of mice. And one time we were there, And I like came out to the lobby and was going to tell somebody at the front desk about the mice in the room. And in the most impossible accent, that's like some strange mix of Australian and Southern that nobody else in the world could have, I hear this, "Oh, good on ya." You know, and I turn around, I'm like, that can only be Winston. And he and Ann had just come over from I can't think of the name of it now. The big loop you could do in the Maroon Bells. They'd just come over and they were staying the night at the same hotel. Just randomly, we happened to be at the same place. But it was like, when I hear this voice and hear him say, "Get on you," I was like, well, that's definitely Winston Chapman. You know, I turn around and there he is. And I also remember this time when I took Kairos to Moab to go camping, and it was over Halloween. And Jesse was a year and a couple months old. And Holly Ed and I had not thought of this. We were like, oh, it's his first Halloween. We're going to be in Moab. So we had scrounged some little Bernese dog, like, onesie. And then we just started walking him around the loops of the campsite. We were at Sand Flats. And we walked over to the next loop, and we're walking there. And sure enough, there's Winston and Ann and family and stuff. And they gave Jesse an entire Snickers bar. And he was like a year and 2 months old or something like that. But at any rate, I just, I really encourage us to remember the things we lose when we lose a friend and to feel those things. I encourage us to take our time, you know, to be willing to stop and take our time and feel the loss, because it's a really big one. I don't want to offer like ideas of comfort or anything like that right now. Those can come, or you might already feel some of that, and they can come when they come, but it's kind of like, you know, you don't want to rush to Easter. There's Good Friday first, and you really miss the depth of Easter if you don't hang out with Good Friday. And so I just encourage us not to rush through anything. And I encourage us to feel this really big, surprising, heartbreaking loss. I think that's all I have to say this morning. Maybe we could just pray for a spell.